I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's C3 Church Global Podcast. We're talking all things worship, such an important part of church life. And we have Dan Karotz from C3 SYD in Australia. We have Ella, the creative pastor at C3 Los Angeles. We have Amanda Gurnett, and who's from Toronto, Canada. And Hannah from NYC, which is now the FOUT, if I'm correct.
That's right.
Dan, you and I have a long history.
We do.
Tell us about that.
Well, when I was 6 months old, Pastor Phil, you dedicated me to the Lord.
You make me feel old. You've been a singer, songwriter, worship leader, and pastor in C3SYD, and your wife's the location pastor there, Kaylee. What an amazing couple. You've been so faithful to God through all these years. Did you find your leaning towards worship was at a young age?
Look, I've always had a big passion for music, creativity, throughout high school, played in bands, and as a matter of fact, kind of wanted to pursue that. Had no real ambition or desire to end up as a worship leader or even a worship pastor. Had always been in church and been a believer, had a faith since a young age, but always wanted to pursue the secular thing. And then probably in my late teens, God did a number on me. And I found myself laying down pretty much music altogether. Went to Bible college for a couple of years here at C3 Oxford Falls, and kind of just one thing led to another, and kind of just found myself getting involved with the worship team in our youth ministry, and then kind of, yeah, like I said, one thing kind of led to another, and here I am, here we are today.
That's amazing. So your journey, Hannah, how's that been in New York?
Yeah, it was a complete surprise. So I moved to New York City 7 years ago with a passion to pursue musical theater, so acting for the secular. And then I found C3 and joined the worship team and just fell in love with it. And it was just my serving. It was my greatest joy. And then the Lord surprised me. I was praying about a career shift. I felt like God wanted me to lay down acting in musical theater and didn't know what I was going to do next. And then Pastor Josh called me and wanted me to step into working on staff at the church. And then eventually I found myself running into worship directing, which has been just such a gift, but have been worship leading the last 6 years. And I found that passion and that calling through C3, and I think God just knows what to surprise us with and knows what we're made for. And it was cool to use my giftings that he gave me that I was putting in the theater route, and he pushed it in a different direction, and here we are now. So that's my story with
it. Sensational. So Amanda from Toronto and in Canada, tell us your journey of becoming a worship leader.
Yeah, for sure. It's similar to everybody else's here. It was not one I ever would have dreamed to be in my future at any point, nor would I have ever said I desired it. But I truly was the same thing. I actually was in C3 Calgary under Pastor Lauren and Kelly's leadership for a while and just started serving there and fell in love with it. I loved being around music. I loved being around the team. I didn't necessarily want to be on the platform at the beginning. I kind of just was like, oh no, I'll just come like set the cables up, do whatever you need off the stage. And then slowly warmed up to it and found myself like not, I used to be really afraid of being in front of people. And truthfully, that hasn't changed, but that's beside the point. But I realized that it didn't feel as foreign as I thought that it would be. And the more I stepped into it, the more I saw God revealing pieces of me that I never even knew were there. And it's kind of like Hannah was saying, that he tends to know you a little bit better than we do ourselves. And so after that, I met Pastor Sam and Jess there, and they decided to move with the crew to Toronto and start C3 Toronto. And I held down the fort for a bit at Calgary with the young adults. Well, they started out planting, but visited them. And I knew kind of for a while that God was leading me to move from Calgary. It never felt like my home, where I was going to establish my home and my family. And visited Toronto for the first time and knew that was it. And so I moved out there with no intention other than being a part of a really great move of God, and started serving and doing whatever I could. And then Pastor Sam and Jess ultimately asked me to be the worship director, and I've been doing that. And
it's amazing.
It's been a wild journey.
Now you're looking after, overseeing all the worship leaders for our big May Singapore conference in the outpouring next year.
I am. Yes, I'm very excited about that.
So are we. Ella almost turns herself inside out when she worship leads. I fear for her. I think, my Lord, this girl is so energetic. But Ella is just a delight to listen to you. You've recently had a baby, I think, Ella, and I'm not sure how that's affected your worship leading. I haven't been around you since then. But tell us your journey becoming a worship leader.
Well, I actually got saved in C3. I got saved in C3 North Hollywood about 13 years ago. And it was the worship was what changed my heart. It was like 3 years being in the worship service before there was a lot around my life that had to be taken away. And I felt like the 3 years that I was in church without being serving, and people wouldn't even know that I sang for those first 3 years, because I tried to get on team, but it was like God was doing a really deep work in my heart. And I got baptized kind of the same at the same time that Pastor Jake and Nicole, our lead pastors, planted C3 Los Angeles, which was a plant out of C3 NoHo. And at that same time, I made Jesus the Lord of my life. And at that time, it was like, then a door opened. My worship pastor at the time, she was like, "Hey, I heard you sing." And I was like, "Yeah, I've sung my whole life." But it was like, in that moment, that was 7 years ago, she asked me to be on the team. We had a small team at the time. It was like five of us, and we were on every weekend. And then the team grew, and we had two locations and then three locations. And in the last 3 years, I've stepped into being on staff, and it's just been the craziest, most beautiful journey, and I'm so grateful.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've been faithful there with Pastor Jake and Nicole and their great church in C3 LA, and there must be a bunch of creative people there, right, who you can channel all of that talent into helping and enhancing the worship experience.
Yeah, the team is incredible. This like superstars. It's just wild.
Over the years at C3 SYD, we put out an album every year. And I know you've just recently put out an EP, right? Another Kind of Life.
Yes, we did that this year.
It's such a good thing for a worship team to do. Even if they're never going to publish the album. It gives them a real context for songwriting, musicianship, rehearsals, improving everything. And I think it's awesome. I think, Amanda, what's your recent album that you've put out?
Yeah, we just put out an album called Look at What the Lord Has Done.
Right. I was there, actually, I think the weekend that you were releasing that.
Yeah.
How many songs on that have you written?
There was 10 songs on that album. So it was for our 10-year anniversary. We did a 10-song live recording to celebrate that.
Tell me about the process that you have with coming up with songs for an album or for just the worship generally.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's so interesting because creativity is like, it can be so obscure, but you need like boundaries around it or it will just never be done. And so we started writing at the very beginning of our journey as a church. And that was something that Pastor Sam and Jess thought was, we all felt that God was calling us to be a songwriting church. And so we just started writing before we even knew what we were doing. And it's terrible. And I hope that no one hears like any of the first stuff, but it was, I buried it like deep in the archives, but it was so special. I think it's so important, like you were saying, Pastor Phil, for churches to even just start, because you begin to capture the heart of your house and you start to hear the testimonies of what God is doing and his faithfulness in your house. And it builds faith in it. I don't know. We found that even with any C3 music that we do, it always lands the best. It always resonates the best with the people in our church. And I think it's when you come under that anointing of the house or anointing of the movement that there's something special in that. And so we kind of take this approach where we've got some rhythms we've started to get some rhythms in line that are quite common, but we'll do like a weekly writing session, a monthly like half day, a quarterly full day, and then a couple retreats a year. So just keep it like going continuously. And we haven't set anything like an album a year, but we definitely want to be releasing new music every year, whether it be in the forms of EPs or singles or different avenues like that. We have a bigger opportunity now having a permanent venue, which is a new thing for us. So that opened a whole new avenue of opportunity for us to be able to record whenever we feel that God has given us a song. But we usually start with getting a bit of a download from Pastor Sam, what he feels like God is speaking to him about. He'll come spend some time with the songwriters. And then we do these retreats. We've often seen them be like quite successful where we bring, you know, I don't know, about 10 key songwriters and then a few like wild cards that we just feel like might mix the room up or dislodge some of the ones, like the people that have maybe gotten a little too into routine. And we do a 2-day kind of like 9 to 9 full days. And we just lock in separate rooms around the space and just write in 3-hour sessions and kind of come out with probably 15, 20 songs. And then, you know, we pick the couple ones that we feel like God's working on. But it's interesting. You see themes, like the more you write and you write for projects. So when you set deadlines, you kind of start to see these themes arise that you didn't. Like when I look back at our album now, I'm like, oh, like they all make sense together. And it's like what God was doing in our church in that season. But we didn't really like plan that. That's kind of God's providence, his sovereignty and his leading.
Yeah, man, the songs of any church, any congregation, any movement like ours, they carry the culture. And so it's so important to be in a good relationship with your senior pastor and your leaders for that culture to find its way into the whole congregation as they worship, because worship is just like, it's the only moment where everybody is actually doing something in a congregational service, like when a preacher is preaching, you know, he's doing that, and when somebody else is talking, et cetera. But worship is when everyone actually starts drinking the atmosphere, the Holy Spirit of in in what's going on in that meeting. It's such an important part you guys have. Hannah, you've just released an album as well, has it? Revival Days. Tell us the process you have in terms of writing songs and creating a team that's going to bring that to your church.
Well, I think what's really cool is that we were writing songs for probably about 8 years as a team, but we'd never released a full album yet. And what was beautiful is that the leadership before me that was running worship had created like a really beautiful songwriting culture. And I got to step into that and learn how to write through them. And so a lot of the songs of this latest project were songs that we've been singing in church for 5 years. And some were songs that we just wrote over COVID or the last 3 years. So the leadership before me modeled songwriting culture just through taking us as a team on retreats and sometimes trips to Nashville to write with professional writers to learn from them. And just keeping at it steadily. And I think we wanted to come under the vision of Pastor Josh and Georgie. They had a vision for us to have a full album of 16 songs. And it just never quite was the right time. We didn't feel like we had enough songs until by the time it was 2020. And we felt, okay, like God really wants us to do this. And we had a vision at that point where the Lord was like, we want you to write this the album that's about revival, because we felt like that's what God was doing in our city. So it was almost like we were developing a steady culture and just waiting for God to give us a vision of this is the right time and this is the why behind the project. So similar to what you guys did, Amanda, I love that you all released an album on your 10-year anniversary. It was like God was like, okay, now you have the vision, now you have the title of the album, now you've written the song Revival Days, now you know the direction to go. And from then on, we're like, okay, now we can write towards this project. And already, like Amanda was sharing how her team had all these themes come up. We'd already had songs with a theme from 5 years ago. And then everything just started to fall into place as we started to write from 2020 to, I guess, 2021, and then released the album beginning and recorded and released in 2022 and then completed in 2023. So it's really beautiful to see how the Holy Spirit can inspire you and your team creatively and bring unity and alignment through generations that are built up through your church. And then all of a sudden at the right time, it's like all in alignment and coming out. So I think that's my favorite part of it, is to see God's faithfulness and his storytelling, starting with our writing 8 years ago and ending with where we are now currently with writers and worship leaders that have been with our church since the beginning of our planning of our church to recently joined in the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, that's so good. Now, Danny Karotz was working with me for many years. Now, I saw him go through all kinds of challenges, especially with his own voice. I think it was almost 3 years, Danny, that you couldn't sing.
Yes. So, yeah, back in 2016, I had a tumor cut out of my vocal cord. I remember waking from surgery, the doctor saying to me, look, it's a mess down there. I don't think you'll ever be able to sing again. I don't think you'll ever be able to properly speak again either. So I went on a 3-year journey, doing everything I could in the natural, in the physical, while also doing everything I could in the spiritual. And doing all the things that I've heard you preach about for many years, Pastor Phil, going to faith and laying hold of the word of God and speaking the word of God over my situation, my circumstance, over my voice. And so after much prayer and doing that, and then also doing everything I could in the natural, and after many, many voice therapy sessions, after almost 3 years, got back eventually, singing again, leading worship again. But what's really ironic, I think, Pastor Phil, about that whole story is in the middle of it, you asked me to be the worship director of our church. And I remember saying to you, but Pastor Phil, I've got no voice. in which your response was, Danny, you'll be fine, you'll be right, which is the irony, I think, of the whole story.
It is amazing, isn't it? We're going to be the strongest. Sometimes that area dies, and I've never known a worship leader to spend 3 years. I mean, there was part of that time where you weren't even able to talk. Not a sound could come out of your mouth. It seemed to me like about a year.
Probably a good couple months. I wasn't able to speak a word. And then there was probably on and off for almost a 12-month period. Back and forth. With that.
It's a totally different subject, but it's a principle of the kingdom, right? That whatever you have in your life will have a day of death. Most visions, any vision that I've seen succeed, it has a day of death. And unless it dies, it can't be resurrected. But when it resurrects, it's way more powerful than it was before. And what I mean, the songs that come out of that, Danny, you've written some incredible songs that just brighten up an entire congregation and give them faith and take them into deep levels of rich worship. And tell us the songwriting processes you have with your team and with yourself.
There's a scripture in Revelation, and it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." And I've always thought and always found that writing worship music is less about trying to write worship music and more about locating and listening to what the Spirit is wanting to say and do in the church.
Wow.
And so for me, that's always been a big part of the process. And as much as there's that wrestle and there's that labor over, melody, lyrics and fine tuning things and getting them service ready or album ready, I think that it needs to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, and it needs to start there. And so for me, that's always been a big part of the process is just listening, locating, and trying to find out what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do and say. And I think a big part of that as well is for many years past, Phil, I've listened to what you've preached behind the pulpit year after year, and I've just put that to song. And Daniel in the Bible says that Daniel could interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. And so I've also found a big part of that process is putting to song, what you've been preaching about or now what Pastor Al and Jessen are preaching about. And putting that to song. And I think you talked about earlier about the worship music capturing the heart and the culture of the house. And so putting to song your leader's vision and sermons, I think, is a big, big part of that process and has been for me.
Yeah, each of our people here today, the leaders here today have actually echoed that same sentiment. And I think that's important, that there's a feeling of alignment. I think Hannah said some people would call it a servant heart. Others might use stronger words like it's submitting to your leadership and interpreting that. And I really think that's important if we want to have a leadership in our own world for our own team, that we've got a healthy relationship with that senior minister, with our senior ministers, and that we're able to then to, with authority and a real sense of leadership, actually lead our worship teams. Because from over nearly 50 years of pastoring, I've found that worship team can be interesting to lead because, number one, there's a lot of people who want to be on the worship team. Some of them maybe shouldn't be or couldn't be or aren't adequate for it. There's people on the worship team who travel through some very sensitive and interesting times themselves. And especially when it comes to, like the songwriting process, when one song is accepted and another is not. All of these are can be very challenging things to navigate as leaders. And so I found that sometimes just because people could actually lead worship really well, it didn't mean that they should be the worship leader, because they actually didn't need just the talent to lead worship. They needed the talent to lead a team and to be able to pastor people and lead people as much. And so sometimes, even though Danny Karotz is also a very good worship leader, but he's also a great leader, as Ryan Smith was, and other leaders that we've had to lead these teams. May 2024, we are gathering in Singapore for the Outpouring, our C3 Church Global Conference. I personally want to invite you to join with us in Singapore. We hear the sound of an enormous outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the next season for the church around the world. And you and I will be part of it, pouring our lives out on the altar together in Singapore. Every C3 church around the world will receive fresh fire and be renewed with fresh oil for a new day of increase across the whole earth. Young men and women from around the world being touched by God are seeing visions and declaring the future. This conference is open to the whole C3 family. Bring your pastors, leaders, board members, youth leaders, worship leaders, creative teams, business people, and influencers. This will be a historic breakthrough event. It's time for revival. Head to c3churchglobal.com to register. Amanda, tell us about being a leader of a worship team and the people who are on team.
Yeah, it's an exciting ride for sure. I think you just never know what you're gonna get. As creatives though, like you've got a team of people that feel. And so learning how, and I'm the same, like, so I think it's helpful that, you know, you don't have like you have a creative person that understands the highs and the lows. I've tried to model like really good, I think, clear communication and clear expectations up front just keeps like oxygen in the air and really good on ramps and off ramps. So that it's a two-way conversation, and it's a two-way street, because it's not serving the person joining the team well if it's a heavy laden burden, like if they're actually not graced for it. So the process of evaluating, I love that, I think it's in Romans 12, but one version says evaluate yourself before the Lord. And I think that we can in modern day Christianity be afraid of like evaluating worship. And we think, oh, like, how do you evaluate someone's worship? And it's like, well, no, it's not, we're not evaluating the offering, but we do need to evaluate the vessel because it's important still, or it's just as important. And so having communications around expectations, we were upfront from the day one. We actually were probably a bit too intense at the beginning. I remember we don't do this anymore, but we did have a very long expectation sheet, and we all went in one by one and wow. Sat down with Pastor Sam and signed it. But we just knew that like the way that we started was going to be the way that we continued. And so we still carry those expectations. We just do it in a completely different way. But I think open communication with team members of expectations when they're onboarded and what they're getting into, that it really is like, it's not a spotlight, it's sacrifice and it's service. And it is more about your character and your willingness than it is about right. Your gift on the platform. So I think we had the luxury of being a portable church for 10 years. The like worship team worked hard. Like they were the first ones there and the last ones to leave with like a 90-minute, you know, yeah. Set up, tear down, like, they were change of clothes. Yeah. They were doing all the dirty work. So that would take a lot of the people that were like maybe searching a little bit for the spotlight or the glory. They just wouldn't, right. They wouldn't come.
Yeah, that's a great filter. Yeah. But now you've got a bit permanent building. So you got a new problem, sister.
I know. Different problems. Yes. I know. It's wild. But I think keeping those expectations up front and making sure that, you know, conversations around character and evaluation and stuff like that, it's not a foreign thing. It should never be
That's
a
awesome.
Foreign thing. It should be a regular piece of our teams, I think.
So Ella, how have you managed that in talented LA?
I think we have a really great culture of discipleship in our church. And so I think the culture that Pastor Jake and Nicole carry throughout all of our teams is that when a leader is speaking with you, there's like this level of like, there's an open door. There's an open door to anything in someone's life. If there's a leader in your life who Fantastic. Is invested in you and cares for you, you should have an open door into any conversation. So our worship team, and we have different locations, so we have different worship directors over those locations. They're so amazing with, you know, it's like calling out the small things, the small behaviors that can kind of point to larger, I don't know, character or questioning. I've seen my leaders do that with me. And so I just want to continue to do that through the worship team, because it's like the silliest in behaviors can indicate something that's going on deeper in your heart. But without being judgmental, just bringing up like, hey, I saw you were late. What is everything okay? And then that getting into a conversation of like, oh, well, what's my next step? Like, I don't know. Why should I show up on time? I don't know what my next step is. And then that getting to have this kind of conversation, like, oh, this is just because we were addressing one behavior on the surface. There's more underneath that we can keep continuing walking on the journey amazing. With discipling people.
I think America definitely has more of the sense of fame attached to being on a stage than possibly other nations. And it can be an aspiration that a lot of people have. So navigating that, I mean, both in LA and New York, I imagine would sometimes be kind of challenging. Hannah, I remember Paula Lark, who I think was your predecessor as the worship overseer. So you've obviously served in a team and now you're leading the team there. Can you tell us how your style of leadership is with the team you have?
Yeah, I think that Paula Lark modeled it very well.
She did.
For me, and she just was a safe space and very honest and with me, and called me higher and saw gold in me that I didn't see. And so I knew that whatever she was sharing with me for growth or feedback was from a place of love. And I think learning from her inspired and built the baseline and foundation for what we started building with the team when I stepped into leadership. And actually when I first started serving in leadership over our worship team, I had a partner with Matthew Harris, and he is such a pastoral gifting naturally. And I just think together, we really wanted to create a place where friendship and unity was built across the team, and where there just wasn't any performance or striving or competition, where everybody understood that nobody's more important than another person. A worship leader is not too important to like lead worship for a kids team. So we would kind of create culture where Sundays are not more important than the kids ministry. Like Sunday, you know, main service is not more important than leading worship for kids church and our juvenile justice ministry or other branches of worship there were. So we really wanted to create that culture of there's no comparison, and this is just our offering. And I think in the last 2 years, God's really laid on my heart, like, what is the motivation of our team? What's our why? And it's just that our motivation and our why is to minister to the heart of the Lord. It's not to oh, my gifting is such a gift to the house, you know, or my gifting, it's my duty and my calling, you know, yeah. Like, you know, at the end of the day, we're called to the Great Commission, period. Yeah. And this is just, we're also called to worship as the church. Yeah. So I think just kind of telling people they're not that special in a loving way yeah. has worked a lot. And, but we're all equally loved, has created a safe space and just made the why. And I think that there's been a deep purity within our team. I think we just really harped on that. Like, what's your heart posture in all of this truly? And was mentioned before, like I think Amanda said, you all had that list of expectations and clarity. We start from that place with anybody onboarded, but we express to them that you don't have to be perfect to be on worship team or to lead in worship just by being on the platform or being in that space, but you have to have a heart that's humble and open for feedback and for discipleship and growth. And I think from that place, we've seen people just transform. And I think that that's one of the most rewarding things to see as a pastor, to see people start from one place and then grow into David's by the end of the journey, and see people just grow in their relationship with the Lord, and the fruit of that being a humble heart that, you know, God moves through anointing and moves through worship. So that's
journey. It is so important that it's more about who people are than how well they can sing. And sometimes we've had worship leaders who you wouldn't consider that great at singing at all, but their attitude and their spirit is an aroma that just fills the house. Do you know there's a fascinating point about the incense that they burned at the temple in Jerusalem, that they would do it morning and night, and you could smell it 25 kilometers away. So it filled the whole nation, and the enemy could smell it down at Jericho. So our aroma of Jesus that comes out of our spirit is actually having an impact on the atmosphere of our cities, and also having an impact on the enemy, on the devil. So to God, it's the aroma of life. To the devil, it's the aroma of death. It's the sentence of our victory. And so I think the importance of our worship teams is huge. And not just the sound they make, but the who they are, the quality of spirit. And each of you today have talked about laying down something at some stage. And I think that's so important, that there's a price that you've paid for the worship, and that carries in the quality of the worship. If there's a sense that this cost me nothing, but David, he would never worship with worship that cost him nothing. He was offered a piece of land to build an altar. He said, no, I'm not going to worship without paying a price. And you guys have done that. And I think that's part of the worship experience we don't often maybe hear about. We just hear the song or hear the music and think, wow, that's a great worship song. But often it's born of a painful moment or some deep journeys with God. And, it is important that I think even in the selecting of teams that we actually have maybe even awkward conversations or difficult conversations that help a person into that place. I know Danny's got a large amount of teams he's got to oversee there in Sydney with various locations around the city. How do you oversee all that and maybe have those kinds of conversations, Danny?
You've got to have those conversations, don't you? Like as much as you want to impart courage, cast vision. I think the job of a worship director, worship pastor is to have those discussions, have those conversations. And even look at it in the Old Testament, David or King David, he had doorkeepers and gatekeepers whose job was to make sure no one would come in and steal from the house of God, steal from, you know, or steal or take the offering. Almost our job is to safeguard that heart and that spirit of worship. Something I say to our worship team is we're worshipers first, worship leaders second. And I think that is just so important and so crucial in the spirit and the heart of it, that we get that around the right way, Pastor Phil.
Yeah.
We are worshipers first, worship leaders. And by worship leaders, I'm talking song leaders, musicians, singers. I'm talking the whole worship team. We're worshipers first, worship leaders second. But then the irony is, what I think makes us great worship leaders is that we're great worshipers. And so yes, really out of the overflow of that and of that right spirit and heart, like you just said, that sweet smelling aroma, and it's understanding that our aroma, our worship has an aroma, it has a smell, pride has a stench, impurity has a stench, sin has a stench, selfish ambition has a stench, but that pure sweet smelling aroma of our worship, it's like a fragrance and an aroma to God and to all that get to be a part of it or are around it.
Such a good word. We should not think that congregations don't discern that. People can smell it. And I think it's important that we're not thinking that our talent will actually get us by. It's our attitude, our spirit. And I guess a good question to ask maybe any of our teams was, how much worship do you actually do on your own in private? Is it only on the stage or actually, which is easy. It's like ice cream. It's beautiful. But in your own world, in the tough times, the easy times, the high times, the low times, worship should be, like as you say, Danny, before we're a worship leader or director, we need to be worshipers. And it's been a delight talking with each of you guys. And thank you for taking the time to chat. Any last comments, Amanda?
No, it's been such an honor. I mean, we are learning from the best. Pastor Phil, under yours and Pastor Chris's leadership, and Dan Carott's like leading the way in songwriting for us. So this is a good room. I'm grateful for these people here.
Thanks, Ella. Leave us with a thought.
I'm just taking so many notes from Amanda and everyone here. But yeah, I think what you're saying, Dan and Pastor Phil, was just beautiful to think of our, I always think of being like a Mary and how she poured everything, her whole year's wages, on the feet of Jesus. And that is what we want all of our team to be doing. And that's what God, Jesus was looking at her when he was talking to the Pharisees. Like, he was looking at her, at her offering. And that's what we want. We want the Lord's gaze upon us. So why not?
Beautiful.
Give it
Amen.
All.
Amen. Hannah from New York City.
Yes. I'm just echoing what Ella said. I love what you said about Mary. I think what's encouraging to me is to hear from all of you and hear how God is equally speaking to us, but also speaking the same thing in terms of purity of worship. So it encourages me to know that globally and what the Lord has been doing since the beginning of time is cultivating pure worship. And what you said, Ella, about the Mary, heart of Mary, I speak that to my team all the time. And specifically, my prayer for our team has been Psalm 24, which says, "Who shall ascend to the house of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." So much to what you, Pastor Phil, were saying about a pure aroma with incense, and Dan, what you were sharing about how you have to be a pure worshiper. I just think there's such a weight to that. But if we want to experience the presence of the Lord, and we have to come with clean hands and a pure heart. So that's our worship offering. So just encouraged to hear all of you guys echo that. And likewise, I'm taking many notes. So
that's great, Hannah. You know, Danny, just a thought, as we come to a close here, I grieve at times over worship leaders who've got such a gift in them, who got attracted by the idea of going secular. Sometimes it's God, sometimes it's the Lord, but I'm not sure each time it has been, and I think it's unfortunate, and to see them not even make it as well as they thought they might. And then there's, you know, and I have no judgment on them. I just understand that all of us have our challenges and difficulties that with how we're going to shape our life up and what direction we're going to point it. But also it seems to me like there's a special target on worship leaders to get them out of the house, to get them offside, to get them into a wrong attitude. And I would just like you to pray for any of worship leaders who might have been stolen out of the house, who lost their way, and that they might be able to find a pathway back into God, into his house. I mean, some I know have claiming, you know, they're deconstructing their whole Christianity, and for some that can be even a challenging moment for them to really question their whole Christian experience, and that in some ways that can bring people back to the foundation rock that they need to be on, which is Jesus. If they can do that and discover Christ in a fresh way, that's great. But I just want to pray for our worship leaders throughout C3, and that God would really strengthen them and help them in the battles they face, and help them to remain true as a disciple for the Lord. Can you do that, Dan, as we come to a close?
Yeah, beautiful. Great honor, Pastor Phil. Lord God, we together, Lord, we agree, we pray right now, Lord God, for the worship of C3 across the globe, in every church, in every location, in every nation and city, Lord God, every worship team, Lord God, every musician, every singer, every worship director, worship pastor, Lord God, we right now pray, Lord God, for the worship of our movement, Lord God. And the word I get in my spirit right now is from strength to strength.
Great.
From strength to strength.
Amen.
Lord God, we're going upwards, onwards, forwards. We are not of those that shrink back, Lord God. And you've got fresh oil, fresh wine for the worship of our movement, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we pray right now for songs, Lord God, being written, songs that will give voice to what it is you're wanting to do and release in our movement, in churches all across the globe, Lord Jesus. Songs that give voice to people's worship, Lord God, that helps unlock worship in them, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray right now for worship leaders, Lord God, in particular, and we are under no illusion, God. We know that worship and warfare, they are synonymous, and the devil has an assignment to take worship leaders, worship directors out, and take them out of the race, Lord God. But we stand together in agreement right now, Lord God, and we rebuke every work of the enemy, every scheme. The Bible says that no weapon formed against us will prosper. No weapon formed against our or the worship of our movement will prosper. And we rebuke every scheme, every plot of the enemy in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, in this hour, Lord God, that you would raise up, like you have already, but from strength to strength, you will raise up a mighty army of not just musicians, not just us singers, not just worship leaders and songwriters, but a mighty army of worshipers across the globe, across our movement, Lord God, that you will raise them up, the young, the old, Lord God, raise them up for such a time as this, Lord Jesus, because the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when the true worshipers,
yes,
not just worshipers, not false Lord worship, not what we think is worship, when the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. Absolutely. With that heart and spirit, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Danny. Yeah, one of the most encouraging things about Danny Carotz over the years has been whenever we've held early morning prayer meetings, and he's always there in those 5:30. He's not just a worshiper. He's undergirding everything as a man of prayer, a man of God as well. And, you know, as we look forward, like Danny was just praying, to the outpouring in Singapore in May, I'm so looking forward to seeing all you guys there. But one of the highlights that I feel right now, right across our movement, just evidenced by the fact that there's three brand new albums in this room right here, is that our praise and worship is going to a whole fresh level. And I think it's always been there. I just think over COVID and whatever else in the recent years, it hasn't actually been galloping along. We might have been trotting and almost cantering, but I think we're about to break into a full gallop, and we'll hear the thunderous praise and worship of thousands and thousands of our people all around the world singing fresh new songs to the Lord. And I believe that each of you are going to be raising up so many new worship leaders. The fruit of a worship leader is not songs, but worship leaders. And so we'll have all of these massive Jehoshaphat's army leaders who are out the front leading the way, carving a path for our churches everywhere to rise in new strength, new power. So I'm praying for you guys that the blessing of heaven really enrich you, empower you, and strengthen you for the days ahead. You're going to go to brand new levels of that anointing in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thanks, Pastor Phil.
Thanks, Pastor Phil.
Been great chatting with you all. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings, are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.